We continue our learning. Le'ilu nishmas David ben Menachem, Shem Nechem Yaakov, and Pinchas Eliyahu. We are in Erevin, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Zayin. We continue our discussion of the lechi. Bakol osin lechayayin. You can make a lechi out of anything. Afilu b'davar sheyesh bo ruach haim. Even something that's alive. You can use an animal. An animal can serve as your lechi. Put the animal at the edge of the mavoi, and that will act as a mechitza. That can be your lechi, that post right at the end, as long as it's 10 tefachim high. Now, the Gemara says the animal has to be tied, and not only tied that it's not going to move, but tied up that it's not going to crouch down. Of course, the animal potentially could die, but the Tanakhama is not worried about that. We assume that if the animal is tied and it's in place and it's 10 tefachim high, we keep it in place, that's sufficient. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you're not allowed to use a live animal as a pole, as a lechi, because it may die. And yes, it's tied and it can't lie down by itself because it's being kept up by the ropes. Nonetheless, it can sag after it dies, and it may be below 10 tefachim. The Tanakhama is not afraid that's going to happen. That's unlikely. That's a machlok, because we paskin like the Tanakhama, you can use an animal as a lechi. Not only that, umetamim mishum golel. What else? An animal, if it's used as a golel, we'll explain, at least now according to Rashi in the Bar Tanura, that golel means a cover of a kever, a cover of a grave, or the cover of a coffin. So there's something called the golel, that's the cover, and the dofek are the two sides of the coffin, and those two are mekabel tuma. So what we're saying is that if you use an animal as a cover to your kever, to your grave, it's also mekabel tuma. Bar Tanura says, based on the pasuk, that v'chol asher yiga al pnei hasadeh. This is in Parshas Chukas when we speak about Tumas Meis, and we learn lerabos golel v'dofek. And golel, he says, who kisu yahakever? That's the covering. So today what we call stimas hagolel. Avelus begins after you cover over, you put the golel on, you cover over the coffin. Or today we fill up the grave with dirt, and then we, at that point, and then we turn away, that's considered the beginning of Avelus. Aninus ends, and Avelus begins at what we call stimas hagolel. So according to this, golel is the cover of a coffin, and I'm putting the animal as the golel as the covering of the coffin. So even though an animal, we shouldn't be mekabel tuma, in this case it will, because if you're using it as a golel, it will be mekabel tuma. If Rabbi Meir Metaher, Rabbi Meir says no, an animal, if it's being used as a golel, it is not going to be mekabel tuma. Anything first of all, he says you can't use it as a mechitza. So he argues on the first halacha. And number two, it's not used in Hilchas Erevin as a mechitza. It also can have the status of a golem. Now, if you put it over the tomb, you put it over the grave. Okay, you cover the grave with an animal. It's very nice, but it doesn't have the status of a golel, that would be mekabel tuma. Now the Rabbeinu Tam Tosfos in Maseches Ksuvos and other places questions the pshat of golel along the following lines: is it really possible? Would anyone even think of using an animal to cover over the grave? So based on that and other considerations, Rabbeinu Tam learns that golel does not mean the cover of a kever. A golel means a matzeva. And if you want to put a regular matzeva, but in order to remind yourself that there's a grave over here, this is where before we put up a matzeva, we may put an animal there for a little while till we fix up get the matzeva ready. And now we'll remember where the grave is and we'll put it over there. So based on the fact that it's very strange to consider that we'd be using an animal as a grave cover. So that's one of the reasons that Tosfos disagrees with the definition of Rashi and Rabbi and the Bar Tanur here of Golel as being a cover, but rather he claims it's a matzeva, and the Ri and others disagree and defend the position of Rashi. Then the Mishnah continues with a kosinal of Gitei Nashim. You're allowed to write a get isha, a divorce document, on an animal. Now you have to give the entire animal to the woman. It's not like you can write it on the horn of the animal. Let's say you have a cow. So to write again on the horn of the cow, then I'm going to rip off the horn of the cow and give it to the woman. That you're not allowed to do because the pasuk says v'kasav la sefer krisus v'nasan biyada. You write the sefer krisus, the get, and you give it into her hand. So we learn from there that you can't have a break, an action between the ksiva, the kasav, and v'nasan, and the giving. So it has to be without. So, for example, you can't write a get on a branch and then break off the branch and give it to the woman. So you can't have that break in between. It has to be where it's not mechusar, it's not lacking anything. It's not lacking this ketzitza of the cutting off. The same thing is true when it comes to the animal. You can ride again on an animal's horn and then give the whole animal to the woman. That's okay. But you cannot ride it on the horn and then cut it off and then give it to her. Rabbi Yossi Aglili postil. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says you can't ride a gedisha on an animal, on a live animal at all. Why not? So the machlokas here in the Bat Tanura quotes, this is found in several places in Shas, is how we define the word sefer in the pasuk v'nasan lo sefer krisus. What does the sefer have to mean? So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says you can't write a get on an animal, on something alive, on that has ruach chaim, because it has to be like a sefer. Ma sefer, I'm quoting from the Baruch Tanur, ma sefer ein bo ruach chaim, af kol shein bo ruach chaim. Just like a sefer, a book, a shtar, a document, is not alive. So too, the get must be written on something that's not alive. How do the Rabbanon, how do they defend their position? How do they justify that you can write a get on a live animal? So the Baruch Tanur continues, Rabbanon, iksiv v'kasav la b'sefer, you're gonna write to her the get in a book, on a document. Could you comment? You'd be correct. But hashta dechsev v'chasav la sefer. What do you write for her? Not b'sefer, in a book, on a document. But v'chasav la sefer krisus. What's a sefer krisus? L'sfiras devarim hu da'asa. Comes to teach us it's not about writing something down in something that has the status of a book that's not alive. Sefer means sfiras dvarim, the story. What's happening here? What's happening here is hariat muteras l'chol adam. You're going to be permitted to stir to all other men. I'm planning on divorcing you, etc. Sefer doesn't mean a book. Sefer doesn't mean something that's not alive. Sefer doesn't mean it has to be on a document, on a piece of paper that's not alive. It could be on an animal. Sefer simply means tell the story of divorce, sfiras dvarim. Mishnah Perek Aleph, Mishnah Ches. Shayar, back to Irvin. Shayara shechansa bivika. Here you have a shayara, literally a caravan. You have a group of people, and it's Shabbos, and then now they're camping in a bika, in a valley. And this bika has the status of a karmelis. We've mentioned in the past, Rishus Harabim, we have certain definitions, 16 am, minimum of 16 amos wide, and it doesn't have a roof over it, and it goes take you from city to city. There's a question whether it goes straight, doesn't curve, question whether you need 600,000 people there daily or not. That's a big machlokes. Rishus Hayachar, an area that's enclosed on all four sides. It's an area that you could also have something that's a mound that's 10 tefachim high and 4x4 tefachim wide. You can have a pit in the ground that's 10 tefachim deep, minimally, and 4x4 tefachim wide. That's also both Rishus Hayachid. And then we have the miscellaneous. We have the Carmelis. What's that? Not a Rishus Harabim, not a Rishus Hayachid. It is it's what we like to call a Rishus Hayachid with an Isser Tiltel, which means officially a Carmelis may be a Rishus Hayachid in certain instances, but there's going to be a prohibition to carry in certain areas. And that, let's say, the Mavui was a great example. That's a Rishus Hayachid Doraisa with an Isser Tiltel Durabanim. And then you have this miscellaneous areas like a bika, like a valley, where it doesn't fall into either category, and that's an Isser Derabanan to carry there, but we have the ability to surround it with mechitzos and or minimally, not with, maybe not with, I don't have a wall to surround it here, I'm making a camp, but I can surround it in a way that what we would call an Eruv, with maybe with the Tzuras HaPesach or the like. We have to be mindful of the fact that I cannot surround a Rishus HaRabim with what we call an Eruv, with the Tzuras HaPesach. You have a real highway. The real highway is, and it's, everyone agrees, let's say it's a Rishus HaRabim. You can't put poles and strings around that highway and assume that you're allowed to carry there. It doesn't work. The poles and strings only help the Kanam Galbeyan. The Tzuras HaPesach, that form of a doorway with the poles and strings, only is effective to surround a Carmelis, which are all the streets in our communities are a Carmelis. And you have in the highways are actually excluded from the Eruv. We make sure to close it off. So here we have a case where you're in a Carmelis, in a Bicker, in a valley, and you want to spend Shabbos there, you want to carry. So what do you have? So you have to see what you have. So you figure, okay, we have the saddles, we have the other, we have some bags, we have certain, tools that are part of the animal, and a lot of them are tall, you know, they're bulky and they're 10 tefachim high. So I surround an area, obviously I can't surround such a large area, I don't have enough stuff to surround the area, but I can't enclose it completely. So the Mishnah here says, Metalkdalin besocha, you can carry within that area as long as you surround it with these items that are 10 tfachim high, uvuvad shelo yehe gader gavoa asara uvuvad sheyehe gader gavoa asara tfachim, as long as each of those items that I'm using as my gadar, as my fence, as my barricade, whatever it is, has to be minimum 10 tefachim high, so it can act as a mechitza. Ah, velo you pratzo siseros ala binyan. And here comes a very important principle, which we have yet to mention, is what we call parutz, is where we have parutz versus omeid. Parutz means the amount of breached area, and omeid, the amount of area that is enclosed. So what the Mishnah is teaching us here is that I have to be sure that I don't have parutz meruba ala omeid. I can't have more breached area than standing area. So what that means is that I have to have a minimum of 50% of the area enclosed. So I have a package here, the 10 tefachim high, I have a saddle, 10 tefachim high, a big bag, 10 tefachim high. Okay, and I'm allowed to have space between them. But I have to make sure that if I go around in this circle that we're in camping and I look around me, I'm surrounded by an area that's at least 50% enclosed. Now, what about those openings? So once again, Kol Pirtza, and we said this in the first Mishnah. Mishnah could says here, Kol Pirtza Sheihi Ke'eser Amos Muteres. If you have a Pirtza, if those openings are 10 Amos or less, 10 Amos or less, they're Mutter, because they have the status of a Pesach, not a Pirtza. Mipneshi Ke Pesach. But Yasser Mikan Asr, but if it's more than 10 Amos, if any one of those open areas that are not that do not have a package, a clay behema, a barricade, whatever it may be, so we have to be sure that they're not larger than 10 Amos. So what the Mishnah is teaching us is really I have two criteria. Number one, I have to have at least 50% of the area enclosed. I can have pockets of openings, no problem. 50% of the pockets can be open. I don't even need a majority. 50% is fine. I don't need 51% even. But none of those openings can be more than 10 amos. They have to be 10 amos or less, because if they are, then that's a pirtza. And even one of those will possibly invalidate the entire eruv, or we don't call it eruv, the entire geder, the entire enclosure, by being a pirtza as opposed to a pesach.